Well, today is, of course, is Mother's Day, and we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that some of you might be saying, why in the world did I come and hear this? Because we are at the age where, well, you know, things have become different for us, and yet I pray that somehow, in some way, what I share today will remember, cause us to remember, you know, our parents or our mother or our father, and the fact that we continue to influence the lives of others. But on the screen, you have actually a gravestone. And it was a California gold rush. Individuals from the east were moving out west in order to strike it rich. And there was a young man and his new bride who were making their way out west. And she came across some water, and they drank it, and she died. The well was contaminated. According to the gravestone, it was actually, legend says it was actually poisoned by Indians. But nonetheless, she died. She perished. And so with a very saddened heart, he took her to the very top of the hill and there dug her grave and made his wagon into a casket or into a coffin and placed her body in it and lowered it into the ground and then placed some wooden stakes at the site of her burial. He was going to continue on out west in order to continue his pursuit of a financial success and stability in life, but he got about a mile or two away and began to think, you know, if I return from here, I'm not going to remember it. I'm not going to remember where she was buried at. It's just, all I have is just two stakes there. And so he decided to turn around. And he went all the way back. We traced his steps back to St. Joseph, Missouri. And there had a stonecutter make this gravestone for her and tried to find somebody else who was headed out west if they would take him and the gravestone to this point. They never made it to Fort Kearney, but short of Fort Kearney, so he could place this gravestone upon the hill at the grave of his wife. Nobody was going to take him. Nobody was willing to take him because their wagons were full. And so he bought a wheelbarrow, and he put the tombstone, the gravestone, in the wheelbarrow, and he actually pushed it all those weary miles and was able to place it at the site of her burial place. Now, as I stop and think about that, it's a very tender story, very compassionate story, but today we're going to look at not a gravestone, we're going to look at another stone that is actually contained in the words of God, and we're told that on these stones were 10 principles, 10 commandments that he gave us. And these commandments are also something that we should never forget. They should be forever marked in our heart because they remind us of how we live and how we're called to live. And the one we're going to look at, I want to refer to Ephesians chapter 6 and then make reference to this because as we go back, Paul mentions it. But he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, he says, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you might enjoy a long life upon the earth. Honor your father and your mother. And as we stop and we think about this, every one of us, of course, have had, you know, our parents, we've had our fathers, our mothers, and we think about the precious experiences that we've had with our mothers and the things that they used to say to us, the things that they taught us, the things that they encouraged us with. I mean, every one of us remember, you know, the ways our mothers are. And some of you look in your mirror and you've become your mother. You know, for us who are men, you know, we look in the mirror and see our fathers. But we remember those principles. And I love that commercial on television where I think it's a Geico commercial. Remember where they're sitting around a circle and they begin to say things and it says they sound just like their mom, just like their dad. How many of you remember seeing that? I can't remember all the quotes from that, but I love that commercial. You know, why would I throw it out? I mean, is this a barn? But anyway, mom taught us a lot of different things. She taught us, for instance, about religion. Because how many of you have ever said or had your mother say to you, you'd better pray that ink stain comes out of that carpet. And so you learned how to pray. Or they taught you about medicine. If you continue to look cross-eyed long enough, your eyes are going to freeze that way. And we've all said that to our children. They taught us a lot about genetics. You're just like your dad, you know. And, well, boy, that was an honor, wasn't it? But anyway, and they also taught us a lot about logic. Just because I said so, that's why. And we've all had that. We've all said that, right? You know, Johnny, would you please make your bed? Why? Because I said so, that's why. You know, would you please take out the garbage? Why? Because I said so, that's why. And so we stop and we think about all the statements that they've made over the years, and we've made those very same statements because they become ingrained within us. And so here is Paul saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. And so as you look at these commandments, you'll find that the first four deal with our relationship with God. The second part of them, the six of them, deal with our relationship to other individuals. And the fifth one deals with our relationship to family. Honor your father and mother. It's basically talking about family. And I think the principle that we understand from this commandment is simply this. Unless we learn how to live together as a family, we are not likely to get along with anybody anywhere. Unless we learn how to respect authority in the family, we will not respect authority anywhere. And in our world today, we need more respect. I think it's sort of something that has dissipated and gone with the seasons of life. But we need to learn how to live in family and to live together as family, because if we can't live together with mom, dad, brother, sister, we're not going to be able to live together with each other at our workplace, at our school, or in communities, or wherever it might be. So very simply here, he says, honor your father and your mother. Now, I noticed several things about this command. One, it doesn't command affection. It doesn't command affection. You know, it doesn't command admiration, even. It doesn't even command obedience, although Paul says, children, obey your parents. But we all know that that depends upon the stage of life that they're in. Here's a young child who's 7 years of age. Yes, obey your parents. But when you become 40 years of age, you know, you've become more mature, you've grown up, maybe you have a wife and a children, or a spouse and a children, and you're not expected to obey your parents then because you're standing on your own two feet. So we need to understand that. So we step back and we say, it doesn't really demand or command affection or admiration or gratitude or obedience, but it does command this one thing: honor your father and your mother. Honor your parents. Honor them. You see, when you talk about obeying your parents or obedience or admiration, I think about how it is that there are some individuals and some of us in this room, and maybe we've grown up and parents have been cruel, they've been harsh, they've been abusive, they've been individuals who have just been downright evil. And to actually obey them is to live a lie. And I hope you help, you know, understand that correctly this morning, because I'm not trying to contradict Scripture. I'm merely saying that we need to be very careful of what we're doing. So when you talk about admiration or being gracious, you know, a person who is very abusive to another individual, how can you be grateful for something like that? I mean, God works all things out for the good of those, but do you understand what I'm trying to say here? So honor your father and mother. Why? Because some people say because they're wiser. They're older and they're wiser, but I don't know about you, but have you ever known someone who's older and not so wise? They're older, but they're still immature. They're older, but they still act like a child. They're older, but they don't have a brain in their head, so to say. And so they're older, but they're not necessarily wiser. And we also know this, they might be older, but it doesn't mean they're less sinful. Children are sinful. Adults are sinful. We all have sinned and fallen far short of the glory of God. So just because we're older doesn't mean that we're more wiser or less sinful or even more perfect, although people who are less than perfect can still be effective parents. It's not also because they're not more mature. They can be immature. It's not because of what they have done. You know, we talk about the admiration. You honor them because, you know, they've been good. No, some parents have been downright evil. And again, I think of those homes where there's been abuse and neglect, and where things have happened that just make a person, you know, make you want to just cringe because individuals had to be raised in a home like that. So again, we're not commanded to obey them necessarily, or to admire them, or to be affectionate, but we're always commanded to do what? To honor them. Why? Because it is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he says, honor your father and mother. So why do we honor our parents? Because this is right. This is right. You see, there's a moral authority in the universe that we need to look at, a moral structure. And what Paul does here in the book of Ephesians is he anchors this in the Lord. And so we have to understand that the Lord is the supreme authority in our life. Parents are the first representation of God and of that moral authority in our life. So there is a right and there is a wrong. There's a good and there's a bad. There's a direction that we should go and a direction that we should not go. But they are the moral authority or the structure of our home or of our family. Now let's take this back. Let's take the game of basketball, for instance. In the game of basketball, you have two teams. You have, for instance, here's a team of five and here's a team of five. And we're not talking about a pickup game, okay? This is a game that's played, you know, in high school or college or the NBA. Let's just choose the NBA today since, you know, we have the championships going on. But you have two teams, and depends on where they shoot from, depends on how many points they actually get. You know, 1 point, 2 point, or 3 points. So it depends on how many points they make behind which line they make it. We also know that in the game of basketball, there is a court they play on, and so there's a parameter. There's boundaries. And if the player steps out of bounds, okay, they step beyond the line, they're out of bounds, and they turn the ball over. Or if they don't get the ball over the center court in a matter of time, then they actually turn the ball over again. But there are certain rules that people abide by. You cannot just go in and, you know, just because the other person has the ball, you can't go punch him in the face and take the ball, okay? Why? Because there's a referee. And the referee is the one who calls the game. They know the ins and outs of the game. They know what is right and what is wrong. And so as they're calling the game, they're saying, hey, what you did was a foul. Now, if you did not have a referee calling the game in the NBA, you know what you would get. You would get a free-for-all because there's a lot of people who are getting paid millions of dollars who are nothing but crybabies, okay? And they will stand back and they will say to the ref, oh, no, 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 he touched me. He looked at me wrong. Now, I know I'm being sarcastic here, but anyway, you know, that's the way it is, and especially of some people. You know, they touched me. They looked at me wrong. Foul, foul. No, the referee makes the call, and the referee, whether you like him or not, his call is the authority on the court. And we have to learn to respect that authority on the court. They even have rules. I can go to the news conference afterwards, and if I malign and belittle that referee, I'm probably going to be levied a big fine. But we all know you can like the ref, you can hate the ref, you can say that he stinks, but you still have to respect the authority of the referee on the court. Amen? So when we come, not too many amens on that part, But the parents, you know, again, are like that referee. They're the moral authority of God. They're the first representation of God in our life. And so we live by their rules. Now, again, we honor them. We respect them. And every parent deserves to be respected because they are the authority structure within the home, within our life. Now, our dilemma is this. According to, for instance, the Carnegie Foundation, in our world today, we have trained and we're training our children and we coddle them. We treat them as if they're very, very, very special, and they are. Don't get me wrong. Okay, don't go out here and saying, my pastor said my kids are not special. No, they're special. But what I'm trying to say is we are called, whether they are a prince or a princess, whether or not we coddle them, it has to be more than just emotional support. We have been given the authority to say this is right, this is wrong, this is a value. This is a character trait that we must work towards. And Paul says we need to bring them up in the nurture or training and admonition of what? The Lord. So we're not deciding what we do in regards to right and wrong. We are anchoring it within the commandments and within the teachings of the Word. This is right. This is what's good. This is what's value. And it's training them and bringing them up so that they might become mature and wise in the Lord. In the Lord. Now, where does this apply? Because you're saying, my word, why in the world is he talking about this? Here I am. I'm an old guy here, you know, this morning. I'm an old geezer. I mean, this don't apply. Yes, it does. Why? Because you have an impact upon your grandchildren and upon your great-grandchildren. And I think about a mother and a grandmother. Paul tells us about them. We have Lois and we have Eunice. And Lois was this godly grandmother who taught her daughter Lois or Eunice the things of faith. She taught the word. She took her upon the lap and read her the word and taught her how to love God. And then what happened when Eunice came along, what we find is that she taught Timothy her son the things of faith. And you know, those of you who are grandparents, isn't grandparenting neat? It really is. I mean, wow, I've got another grandchild on the way, and you know, I think the child's a boy. Is that right, David? Is Kristen having another boy? He don't know either. But anyway, You know, it'll be number 12 or thereabouts. But, you know, we as the old thing says of grandparents, what do? You can watch your grandkids, and at the end of the day, you can send them home. Someone once said this, that grandparenting is actually the reward for you not having killed your children when they were teenagers. But anyway, you know, the grandparents, they can invest in the life of their grandchildren. And they help raise those children in the ways of the Lord. Yeah, we can spoil them, and it's our prerogative and right to spoil our grandkids. Okay? Did you hear that, Patty? You can spoil her. I don't care what Peyton says. You can spoil her. Okay. But, you know, you spoil them. But then what happens is you have the mother, and the mother comes along and then teaches the child. And here's Timothy growing up in the ways of faith, the ways of God. I mean, he became a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord. And when Paul comes along, he says, you know what? You know, you've had the word from the very beginning. You've been taught the word. You've been taught how to stand upon the word. So here is this mother, and she was married to a Timothy's dad who was a Greek and was not a believer. And yet she still raised him in the ways of God. I think about a young mother. Her name was Monica. She lived in 331 AD. Monica converted to Christianity. She walked with the Lord, but her parents hated Christianity. Her parents hated God and married her off to a pagan who was named Patricius. And when he got married to Monica, he moved his mother in with them. And so mother-in-law was also living in the home, and they both hated God. They were not believers, but they did respect Monica for the way she lived her life. And Monica lived for God. She prayed. She lived her life as an outpouring of God's love. And praise God, towards the end of their life, both Patricius and his mother gave their life to Jesus Christ. But in that marriage, there were three children, three boys, and the youngest one was a hellion. He was a pleasure seeker. He was a womanizer. He ran after around all these, you know, things that he should not do, sowed all these wild oats. But she prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. And one day, St. Augustine gave his life to the Lord. And he became a great believer of the faith, an early church father who wrote The City of God and the Confessions. But Monica prayed. You see, what happens is that sometimes we raise our children and they go off down the wrong path. But you continue to pray, because you've taught them the word of God from the very beginning. And then Paul comes along, and Paul disciples him and mentors him and teaches him how to walk with the Lord. Again, Paul says, don't neglect the gift in you, and don't let anybody look down upon you just because you're young. I mean, you're a mature believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he became a man after God's own heart, even as David was. Now, I think about a young man. He only had a sixth grade education. He was a shoe salesman. And one day he went to a religious service where a pastor was preaching, and the pastor says, the world has yet to see what God will do with one man whose heart is totally yielded to him. And this young man says, I want to be that kind of person. And he gave his heart to the Lord, and this man, whose name was D.L. Moody, became the Billy Graham of his generation. You know, hundreds and thousands of people were run to Christ because he walked with God. But it began, you know, back with his mother, with his grandmother, as they walked with the Lord. This is what is right. This is what is good. So how do we honor our parents then? Well, let's step back. First of all, when you look at that word honor, it's actually the word in the original language is kabed, kabod. It's, when you look in the Old Testament, when you talk about the glory of the Lord, it's the word kabod. Honor your parents, it's the word kabed. And so you find here that it actually means weight. When you're talking about kabed, kabod, honor, weight, glory, it's weight. It means something matters. So we're talking about here how there's something that's important, something matters. Your parents matter. When we honor our parents, we're saying they matter. They matter. In other words, you take them seriously. Judith Viorst was an author and a humorist, and she talks about a time when she asked some small kids, she says, what is it, or what is a good mother like? And as she was talking to these little kids, they began to realize, you know, that every mommy can get angry at times. In fact, little Teddy says, if mothers don't get angry sometimes, they'll explode on the inside. You know, have you ever felt like exploding on the inside? And there's another one who came along and said, well, when mommies start acting real weird and they get a little bit upset, whatever you do, don't giggle at them because it makes them madder yet. And it's true, right? But here I think about little Megan, and Megan says, yeah, I remember my mommy. One day she yanked the plate off the table and the mashed potatoes went everywhere. And Judith Viorst says, why is that?
She says, because my little brother Mikey wouldn't eat his potatoes. She told him to eat his potatoes, and he said, later. She says, no, I want you to eat your potatoes. We need to clean up. And he says, well, soon. And he said, she said, Mikey, I said, you need to eat those potatoes now. And he says, well, in a minute, Mom. And she, about that time, stood up. And we all know what it means when she stand up, right? And so he grabbed his spoonful, crammed some potatoes into his mouth and says, Mom, how do you expect me to eat these? These are cold. These are cold. Well, you need to take your parents seriously. We need to respect them. We need to honor them. I mean, we know, even though we may be older, you still honor your parents. You don't make fun of their age. You don't mock them because of their limitations. You value their advice, even though you don't necessarily have to take their advice. You still value their ideas. You honor them by not making the same mistakes that they made. Isn't that a way of honoring them? Because we can all look back and see the mistakes that our parents have made. We say, I'll never do that. I hope you never do. You know, you honor your parents by just really being there for, listening to them. That's how we take them seriously. We respect their dignity and give them dignity because these are the individuals who have been a part of our lives. But secondly, we honor them by forgiving them. Because every one of us know that we're not perfect. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, and as parents, we've done some stupid things. You know, we've blown our cool, we've said things we shouldn't have said, we've acted in ways that were unbecoming, perhaps, of a Christian father and mother. We've done things that were not right. We've all sinned and fallen far short of the glory of God. We're imperfect. But I've known that there are some children who become adults, and they are still bitter, and they're still resentful at the things that their parents said or did or would not let them do. And they've carried that around in their heart. They carry that around in their life. And this bitterness, this resentment comes out, seeping out from them. And the Bible says that this bitterness actually defiles those round about. You know, think about the bitterness that we carry in our own heart. And what the Bible says is we need to learn how to forgive for Jesus' sake. And to forgive for our sake. Because if we do not forgive, we're going to continually be bound and enslaved by those very things that we hate so dearly in our own heart and life. I mean, we all fall far short of our expectations. And maybe our parents fell short of our expectations for them. But there's this idea of being able to forgive even as Christ has forgiven us. And only as we forgive do we really become free to live our life and to honor them in such a way that God would want them to be honored. Now, the Bible again concludes by saying that this is the command with promise. And it says, honor your father and mother that it might be well with you and yours, that might be well with you and you might live long on the earth. And so, again, it's a commandment of honor. When you honor your parents, it says you will be blessed. You may not be able to discern it. You may not be able to decipher it, but it says you will be blessed. And that is the promise of Scripture. Again, you know, many of us, we've lost our parents. You know, we're now becoming our parents, whatever it might be. But again, I think that this command, although it's addressed to honoring your father and mother, again, applies to all of society. Because if there's anything we need in our nation today, in our communities, it's to learn how to respect authority. Respect and honor those in authority over us. To respect our teachers in the classroom. To respect our police officers on the street. To respect, you know, our bosses, to respect our co-workers, that respect that we need, and to protect their dignity, realizing that we've all been created in the image of God. The respect that we need, honoring our parents. And when we honor them, we honor God, because He is our Father in heaven. Honor. Honor your father and your mother, that it might be well with you all the days of your life. Precious Lord, we come to you today, and Father, I pray today that this very simple command, very central to the Ten Commandments. Why is it there? Because it's all about community. It's all about family. And unless we learn how to live together at home, we can't live together anywhere else. So teach us how to live together among ourselves. Help us to live together as the body of Christ. Help us how to live together as a community. Help us how to respect one another's ideas. We may not agree with those ideas. We may not agree with those viewpoints, but Lord, we can respect them and respect them for the ideas that they have. We may know that somewhere along the line, you know, someone may not have lived up to our expectations, Lord, we're all imperfect, and when I look at our lives, we're imperfect, I'm imperfect. But Lord, to know that you have forgiven us. You've forgiven us, no matter what it is that we have done. You forgive us, Lord, and you give us a clean slate, and that cannot be held over our heads again. We have been set free. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're our Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you mother us. Thank you, Lord, that you're there for us. Thank you, Lord. We honor you and we glorify you in the name of Jesus. Amen.